Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 7th canto, chapter 8, The Lord Slays the King of the Demons, text number 14. Evam durukter muhu ardayan rusa sutam mahabhagavatam mahasura gatkam pragrityo patito varasanat stambam tadati balaswamustina. Being obsessed with anger, Hiranyakasipu, who was very great in bodily strength, thus chastised his exalted devotee son Prahlad with harsh words. Cursing him again and again, Hiranyakasipu took up his sword and got up from his royal throne and with great anger struck his fist against the column. Tadaiva tasme ninado tibisano babu vayenanda katam asputat yam vai svadisnya pagatam tajataya shutva svadamachayam angame nire. Then from within the pillar came a fearful sound which appeared to crack the covering of the universe. O my dear Yudhisthira, this sound reached even the abodes of the demigods like Lord Brahma. And when the demigods heard it, they thought, oh, now our planets are being destroyed. Purport. As we sometimes become very much afraid at the sound of a thunderbolt, perhaps thinking that our houses will be destroyed, the great demigods like Lord Brahma feared the thundering sound that came from the pillar in front of Hiranyakasipu. And text 16 is on the board. Savigraman putravadeep shurujasa.
Savigraman putravadeep shurujasa.
Nisamya niradam apurvam adbutam.
Nisamya niradam apurvam adbutam.
Anta sabayam nadadarsa tatpadam.
Anta sabayam nadadarsa tatpadam.
Vitatra suryena surari yutapa.
Vitatra suryena surari yutapa.
Savikraman putra saha.
Hiranyakasipu.
Vikraman.
Vikraman.
Exhibiting his prowess.
Putravada ipsu,
desiring of killing his own son. Ujasa, with great strength. Nishamya,
hearing.
Niradam,
the fierce sound.
Apurvam,
never heard before.
Adbhutam,
very wonderful.
Antasabhayam,
within the jurisdiction of the great assembly.
Not. Dadarsa,
saw.
Tatpadam,
the source of that tumultuous sound.
Vitatrasu,
became afraid.
Yena,
by with sound.
Surari yutapa,
the other leaders of the demons.
Not only Hiranyakasipu.
While showing his extraordinary prowess, Hiranyakasipu, who desired to kill his own son, heard that wonderful tumultuous sound which had never before been heard. Upon hearing this sound, the other leaders of the demons were afraid. None of them could find the origin of that sound in the assembly. It's like someone's cell phone going off. Purport. In Bhagavad Gita 7:8, Krishna explains himself by saying, Rasaham apsikunteya prabhasmi sasi surya yo pranava sarvavedi su saptaki purisam nisu. O son of Kunti Arjuna, I'm the taste of water, the light of the sun and moon, the syllable om in the Vedic mantras. I'm the sound in eater and ability in man. Here the Lord exhibited his presence everywhere by the tumultuous sound in the sky, Saptaki. The tumultuous thundering sound was proof of the Lord's presence. The demons like Hiranyakasipu could now realize the supreme ruling power of the Lord, and thus Hiranyakasipu became afraid. However powerful a man may be, he always fears the sound of a thunderbolt. Similarly, Hiranyakasipu and all the demons who were his associates were extremely afraid because of the presence of the Supreme Lord in the form of sound, although they could not trace out the source of that sound. In Bhagavad Gita, it is stated, Mritya Arashacham, I take away everything in the form of death. So it is here where the fear of the demigods, of the demons, will also appear. When impending death is approaching. So this sound was so powerful and so overwhelmingly strong that it brought out that inherent fear of death in the demigod, in the asuras, sorry. And thus they were all in a state of shock. It is natural that the living being is going to be confronted with his limitations. We're constantly confronted with limitations. However, it is explained that as the Supreme Lord is Parameshwar, is the Supreme Controller, the living entity is also a controller. And the living entity is somehow or other having some material energy under his apparent control. Krishna, of course, being the ultimate controller, and Krishna can interfere any moment with our control. Since we are only secondary controllers under his ultimate control. The demons forget that the Supreme Lord is the Supreme Controller, and they see their own control. Iswaroham aham bhogi. I am the controller and I am the enjoyer. This is in the 16th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, defined as the demoniac mentality. So what to say? This Iswaroham, this tendency to be the controller, is very deeply rooted. Therefore, demoniac tendencies are remaining with the living being for a very long time. Even when we take up the process of devotional service, it doesn't mean that all the influence of previous demoniac activity is gone, and that there are so many traces in our consciousness that still make us deal in that way where we think that we are the controllers. This tendency is very strong. And at the same time, we are controlling, but on behalf of Krishna. So to be a controller for Krishna, and at the same time not claim any power from it, not to take advantage of the position that we gain from being a controller, is difficult. To be a servant in that role, to simply see that I've received this position of power for the sake of being a servant. And that is the idea. Just like in a biblical context, we find the description that man received dominion over all that be, over all the living entities, over the entire universe they found themselves in. Of course, then, what man did, rather than protecting the animals, man began to feast on the flesh of the animals, which is not taking into consideration the desire of the Supreme Lord, where it is said, balam balavatam chaham, kamaragavivarjitam, that the strength of the strong is meant to protect the weak. So, in this way, the human beings who are more intelligent than animals are meant to protect the animals. So this understanding is not possible. Not possible for a conditioned soul. And since we are dealing in the world predominantly with conditioned souls, we need guiding principles in society. We need education in society. Without education, we cannot expect that people are simply going to do the right thing. The conditioned soul, just by being conditioned, is contaminated with demoniac mentality, contaminated with a misused tendency to control, and contaminated with the tendency to enjoy what is not his property, what is the property of the Supreme Lord. And that goes very far, even including our bodies are the property of the Supreme Lord. So it is a huge adjustment. And even upon hearing and hearing again and again from Srimad Bhagavatam, still the tendency is there to forget very strongly. So we forget again and again. And or we look for a compromise. We look for a compromise between personal interest and interest of Krishna. And yes, Krishna has provided for that within Varnashram. He has provided for us to have that compromise where we can say how much for Krishna and how much for me. Of course, ultimately it has to come to the point of giving our life 100% for Krishna. Just as we're seeing how Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, as a householder, is saying, I'm no longer maintaining this household for myself. This I am doing so now as your servant, on your behalf. Right? It is your household. It is your facility, which will only be used now for preaching Krishna consciousness. So in this way, our entire life is meant to be dedicated to spreading the glory of the Supreme Personality of Godhead in this world. And that is the opposite of the demoniac mentality. The demon is trying to build his own kingdom, trying to build his own kingdom in this world, his own facility for himself, and to enjoy as much as possible. That is the demoniac mentality. And he's trying to collect more and more items and bring them under his control and build a big fence around it and get big dogs and guards and all kinds of means to make sure no one can come in. Of course, the Supreme Personality of Godhead can defeat all these things. It is interesting to see the description of Banasura and his city, and how his city was protected by walls. First of all, there were walls of water, there were electric fences, and then there were walls of gas. So, I mean, that's even by modern standards, very advanced defense techniques, walls of gas. Wow, how do you do that? That's not so easy. So very high-tech security to make sure, to make sure that his assets were well protected. And that is required. Because one demon desires to have the property of another demon. So there's one demon inside the fence and another demon outside the fence, and in this way they are competing with each other. So who are the good guys? There are no good guys. They're all demons. And thus we see wars in this modern age of just demons fighting demons. And demons trying to possess property and claiming it. This is our land, because we were born in this land. Therefore it is ours. But no, it is the land of the Supreme Lord. And we can only claim it when we claim it for the Supreme Lord. Maharaj Yudhisthira sent a horse around the world to challenge the entire world. It had the royal insignia on it, and anyone who dared to stop that horse would have to face the army. Right? Either subject to the ruler or be ready to fight. That was quite oppressive in some ways, if you think about it. Invading upon others' territory. But that was not what Maharaj Pariksit was doing. Not what Maharaj Yudhisthira was doing. He was not trying to establish his empire. He simply tried to establish that the entire world belongs to the Supreme Lord. But he was ready to subjugate those who were not willing to accept. He was ready to conquer in the name of the Lord. That was also part of Vedic culture. But then Maharaj Yudhisthira performed that Rajasuya sacrifice which established him as the ruler of the world. Of course, as he did so, he was glorifying Krishna as the senior most and most glorious personality. And in that way, he used that Rajasuya sacrifice not to establish himself as the greatest, the emperor of the world, but to establish Krishna as the greatest. And how even the emperor of the world was just worshipping the Supreme Lord. So that is the principle of Iswaroham, the proper principle of being the controller for Krishna. But we have to control. Anashaktasya visiyan yataram upajunjataha nirbandha krishna sambandha yukta vairagya uchate. We have to engage the material energy in the service of Krishna. Otherwise, we are performing jiva himsa. Otherwise, we are violent. Otherwise, we are envious. If we are not utilizing the powers that are given to us for spreading the mercy of Krishna everywhere, then we are guilty of passive violence to living beings. The example given, if someone's drowning, if it's within your power, you have to pull them out. You cannot just say, well, you know, what to do? It's not my fault. No, I didn't throw them in the water. No. Mm-hmm. I didn't do anything. No. I'm innocent. No, I'm innocent. I have done nothing. Goes on go for the third time now. That's it. Right? Yes. So, if it's within our power, then we are meant to jump in the water, save a life, get a medal. Yes. So in the same way, whatever is in our power must be used to save people from the ocean of nescience. All the living beings in the world are drowning in the ocean of nescience, the ocean of forgetfulness of Krishna. So it is our business to somehow or other do so. Just like Radhadesh is a great facility, and there are many people who live here very nicely, nice place to live. But if that's all we would do, just living nicely, then what's the meaning of it? At least we have to show how we're living nicely to impress the world, how nice it is to be Krishna conscious, and that they should also become Krishna conscious. If this is not here as a symbol of power to put out the message of glorifying Krishna into the world, then what's the benefit? No benefit. What's the benefit of living if our life is not used for glorifying Krishna? What's the use of such a life? Such a life has no use at all. May as well die now. Right, forget it. Right. But we stay alive as long as we can. We stay alive as long as we can for the sake of spreading mercy. For the sake of somehow or other bringing more Krishna into the world. I had a discussion with a devotee in Australia who has kidney failure since many, many, many years, and who has a machine at home for dialysis, and every day he goes like 6 to 8 hours on his machine. So lots of fun, as you can imagine. He says, well, I get to do a lot of hearing, right, while I'm on it. So there's an advantage with that. He's quite positive. But at the same time, people in that kind of artificial condition, relying on modern technology, you know, to stay alive, naturally they sometimes think, is it worth it? Should I just, you know, pull the plug and just, you know, say, let it go, right? Let it go. What is the point of staying alive year in, year out through a machine? Chant Hare Krishna and accept it, you know, that you're going to die. Yeah? Thoughts like that obviously would occur. So then he asked a question to our Prahladananda Swami, right, who gave a nice answer, I thought. He asked him, so, you know, should I go on and just prolong my life artificially on a machine? And Prahladananda Maharaj said, as long as you can chant Hare Krishna, you should go on. Which is a good point, because you get benefit from that chanting of Hare Krishna. And the world also gets benefit. So he's going on and still chanting Hare Krishna. So that's good. But we should also do something to send out a message to the world and to convince them to also chant Hare Krishna. Otherwise, our existence is incomplete. And we can find ways. There are many ways to do so. One can invisibly put a message in the ether from behind the keyboard, and no one will ever know who you are. So you don't have to face the embarrassment of facing the people. You don't. You can hide behind a computer. There are many ways, but something we should do. The demoniac mentality is there widely, is there extensively. And if we just think that we can remain peaceful in our communities, then we make a mistake. We built nice little Krishna conscious oasis in the middle of the world, and there we'll live happily together, Vanchakalpa, Thirubhya, Prabhu, and so on. It will not be entirely like that, right? If we don't do something to change the demoniac society, then the demoniac society will do something to change us. Yeah. Don't worry, they will. Yeah. It's like that game with the hands, you know? If we don't push, they're going to push. So ultimately, if we don't preach boldly, they are preaching boldly. My God, right? It's in your face. Right? It's not like mildly, it's in your face, like anything. It's like, as I flew here, there were all these screens with movies going on, and I saw some horrific things. It was just, one thing was some sort of futuristic hospital situation where it started, this young girl, she'd given birth to a child, and there was a nurse standing with the child, and the girl was crying, and she had to look at, you know, at the child, held it for a moment. The nurse took it back, put the child down, then prepares this syringe with a green fluid and gives the girl this injection, and the girl just like dies. Right? Next moment, the nurse takes the baby, and there are the parents waiting for adoption. They're very sweet. Oh, yes, so nice. Oh. And they're getting the child. It was very intense. Then there was a body lying in an operation theater on the tables, outside lights, surgery in process. There were computers attached to the operation table with many mechanical extensions. So it wasn't manually done, it was all done computerized. And then you see this like little saw blade, you know, and it goes down to the chest to make an incision there. And it turns out, for what? To take out the organs. So there's this big black guy on the huge, Mr. Muscle himself, on the table, okay? And the cutting, to take out the organs. Then suddenly he jumps up, and he runs out of the theater with all the tubes on him and everything. And they shoot some sort of hooks and connected to some sort of strings, and they pull him back in. Security guards. And put the donor back on the operation table. Now maybe this movie was a little bit extreme. I hope so. I honestly hope so. I hope it was just the product of a sick mind, and not sort of a mirror of a sick society, and not sort of depicting something that is already there and just magnifying some tendencies in society that are there. But I read this article how they have, about organ donations. I don't know if you read it, but, you know, you read all kinds of stuff these days, and you don't know where it comes from, but somehow or other you get to see it with this information technology. So I saw this thing. Someone sent it around. And the article described how people, you know, you cannot take organs from a dead body. It's not possible. Because then the organs are spoiled already, can no longer be used for transplant. So therefore, you still have to be alive and dead at the same time. That's really what's required. So they discovered this type of death, right? Where you can be both. You can be dead and alive. It's called brain dead. It's great. The heart's still beating, but brain dead. So people that are heavily injured, especially brain injuries and these kind of things, or whatever, go into a comatose condition, and then at one point when no measurements are showing up, when electrodes are there and so on, brain dead. Now we go. Yay. Okay. Bring the scalpels, bring the saw, bring the scissors, and let's cut it out, you know. First take the eyes, then, you know, like take a kidney, only one, you know, keep the other one in. Right? Systematically take out all the organs in sequence so that the person doesn't die. Now, the thing is that happens is that sometimes they put a blood pressure machine on the person, right? And they see that sometimes the blood pressure goes up, just like as they're cutting, just like in the case of someone who is not, didn't get enough anesthesia for the operation. Then they have to give a little more. Right? In this case, they don't do that. Sometimes even the donors, although they are brain dead, they start jerking. They start jerking as they are cutting. No problem, they fix that also. They just give some medicine which causes paralysis. So there's no jerking, no problem. The donor just lies there peacefully and they take out the organs. Okay, if anyone after this still wants to donate organs, then you're very brave. Me, definitely not. So we can see how the demoniac society is like infiltrated to something mainstream, and how it's very nicely glossed over, and how it's very nicely, with an image of compassion. No, really, compassion, yes, kindness, you know. You want to adopt a child, yes, you want to donate some organs to you. Like that. The demoniac mentality is deeply, deeply ingrained in society. But no matter how far it goes, the laws of nature are very, very intricate. And there always will be a response from the Supreme Personality of Godhead through the laws of nature. There's a Bengali proverb which describes that the artist, he tried to make a statue of Lord Shiva, but in the end, it looked more like a monkey. What to do? That's probably when I start. I would be lucky it looked like a monkey. But so it means that in the name of world peace, it said that, the Prabhupada explained, in the name of world peace, they made the nuclear bomb. Right? But with it, they hung impending death above their heads. So, in the name of defense, and it's true if you look at history, in the name of defense, you know, I mean, it had to be done. It was inevitable. Hiroshima, Nagasaki, you know, was the only way to stop the devastating force of the Second World War. There was no other way. But meanwhile, we hung death above our head, and ever since we've lived with this idea. And in the 60s and the 70s, the era of the Cold War, this was like a big thing. And lately, the Cold War is again coming a little bit more to the foreground. So, like this, we see that the demons will again and again misuse their powers. Of course, devotees, we just depend on Krishna. We depend on Krishna for our protection. As Prahlad was helpless, but dependent on Krishna. And we see how Krishna protected him. So we are depending on Krishna, absolutely. And in this age, Krishna appears as Lord Chaitanya. Our Ishtadev is not Lord Nrisimhadev. No, our Ishtadev, our worshipful deity, is Lord Chaitanya, particularly. Because without Lord Chaitanya, we cannot in any way, we cannot in any way be successful in spiritual life. Therefore, we depend on Lord Chaitanya. And, in the Pajavali of Rupa Goswami, a verse book by Srila Rupa Goswami, there is a verse which describes that not by following Vedic injunction, not by performing sacrifice, by performing austerities, and so on, can the influence of Kamadev be overcome? Or in other words, can lust be conquered? This is the problem. Lust. How can lust be conquered? This is the problem. We may be all nicely dressed up, but how can lust be conquered? We may... So it is said that only lust can be conquered by devotional service. And currently, that means within the mission of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, since he is the Ishtadev for this era, he is the worshipable Lord for this era. And therefore, and of course, Sri Krishna Chaitanya Radha Krishna Nayanya, he's non different from Radha and Krishna. But still, then, Gaur-Nitya is also there. Otherwise, we cannot approach. Nitya Pada Binabhaya Radha Krishna Paitanaya. Without the mercy of Nityananda, Radha, the lotus feet of Radha and Krishna will not be available. So in this way, therefore, I think the conclusion that we must do something to send positive information about devotional service into the world is the only thing that can save us from lust. Otherwise, it will be very difficult. If we try to go to the pastimes of Radha and Krishna and just get into the mood of seva, 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 it will be hard. Because deep down in us, that demonic contamination of lust remains. Only when we start to think of the welfare of others, can we slay the demon in our heart. Only then. There is no doubt about that. Okay, these were some reflections on my side on these verses and on the demoniac mentality. So if anyone has some question, you are. To summarize the question for those who couldn't hear. Basically, we discussed that not only Krishna is a controller, he's the supreme controller, but all living beings are controllers. And then some are more powerful than others. So the question then that is raised is, but in this age of Kali, it is very difficult for the living being to control, to remain humble. So if one has great power to control, then isn't that dangerous, that one can become very easily become distracted by that power and develop some demoniac mentality? Then why did Krishna do that? Okay, I've paraphrased in my own words. No, it's not Krishna. Krishna is not the architect of this world. It's not that Krishna sat at the drawing board and made a design according to his desire. It's the living being himself who is the architect of this world, and it's Krishna who reluctantly goes along with it. Like a parent, you know, when a child goes totally astray, okay, what can the parent do? Some or other still help a bit, even if that child, if the son or whatever has gone off, but not that this is what the parents want. So Krishna gives every living being that independence to choose himself. And each time, sometimes, tasyai vihita prayate te kovido, tad brahmatam talabhyate upariyada. We are going upwards in the universe and sometimes downwards in the universe. As we're going upwards, we're getting more and more control. As we're going downwards, we're getting less and less control. That a living being goes through life after life, sometimes getting more control, sometimes getting less control, according to karma. That's all. And then, if it's misused again, which it has been misused unlimited times, every time again, it's not that it happens once, it happens unlimited times that the living being misuses the independence, and bang, the mechanism of karma kicks in. Bang, you know, slapped down again. Niketastamaya tara japati ahaya. My Krishna bhaya mukahaya bhogavan chakara niketastamaya tara japati ahaya. That whenever we want to try and lord it over the material nature, squeeze some enjoyment out of it, Maya is standing there nearby, ready to slap us down. Boom. Slap you down again. So this is what is going on. We are being slapped down again and again to bring us to the point where we come to our senses. So then we became a little bit materially exhausted because of that, of being slapped down again and again. And then we said, well, this Bhagavad Gita makes sense. And then we said, yeah, well, you know, yeah, I guess, you know, this is the right thing to do. I'm going to join the Hare Krishna movement. And we joined, but then we're in the Hare Krishna movement and we think, so many things happening, this, that, I don't agree with them. And again, Ishwara Bhav comes out. And even there, Maya is waiting. And even then, in the Hare Krishna movement, bang, Maya slaps us down. How is this possible? How can this happen to me? I mean, I've given my life to Krishna and now see what happens. No. Still not given properly. So again and again, we have to become reflective and we have to see that it's not accidentally sometimes happened that the tendency to control gets out of hand. It is our... It is a perennial thing, life after life, we just do this. And it's old habits die hard, and it kicks in again. That's basically our situation. So we try to keep our head low, you know. Now we got the mercy, right? Somehow or other. By Prabhupada's grace, by Lord Chaitanya's grace, we got the mercy. Now let's keep our head low, you know, really. As time goes by, we realize it. Let manmana bhavamat bhakto majari mam namaskaru. Let's just bow down, you know, bow down. Somehow or other, bow down to Krishna, to the Vaishnavas, to the scriptures. Bow down. That's really what will happen, because death is never far away. Can strike any time, whether it comes like a thunderbolt or whether it comes in another way. It's close. Boom. No guarantee. We'll get old. Yes. Well, I spoke about it is sometimes said that anger is the younger brother of lust. So first there is our desire to control. I want a world according to my desires. And something is interfering with that. Yeah. And somebody is interfering with that. And some are not giving me a fair chance to enjoy it. It was my parents. And my grandparents also, actually. Yeah. I want that. Only goodness. I am so sincere. I only want to create a world in goodness. And people interfere with that. I'm becoming angry. Yes, but it's not the people who interfere, because we have to see behind the people is Krishna. So devotee still accepts, all right, Krishna didn't want. Krishna has another plan for me. Somehow or other, this is not destined to be. Whatever Krishna wants from me. I wanted to make that beautiful village. We didn't get it. All right, Krishna wants something else from me. So one has to accept to be the instrument of Krishna. But it's difficult. I know, it's difficult. Tell me all about it. I find it also very difficult. But so then, you know, when everything goes wrong, then sort of shaky, standing on shaky legs, I say, okay, Krishna, I'm yours. That's sort of how it is. But we try, and because we are together, we do it. That's why we need to be together with devotees. Then we'll do it. Oh, I'm sorry. But was Krishna's plan? Now he brought you to Radhadish. See? Yeah. It's good. There's ultimately more, maybe better. You know? So to see, Krishna knows better than we do. It must be good. Yeah? Radha Gopinath, very nice. Okay, Sri Sri Radha Gopinath ki jai.